Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael Kay Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's April 25th. It's 2024. And the way it's developed, let's be honest, this is a national holiday. I mean, football is so big that the NFL draft could be looked at as a national holiday. Every one of the 32 teams is involved and intrigued, and neither of the two local GMs have really tipped their hand about what they're going to do. We can only speculate. That's all people are doing, speculating. We'll have on Rich Cimini and Jordan Ronan, who cover the Jets and the Giants respectively for us, and they'll tell us the latest of what they know. But, Peter, there's no way anybody's tipping their hand. We're not even quite sure, and I know you're locked in on this, what the Commanders are going to do. There's some doubt whether they'll take Jaden Daniels or they'll take Drake May. And if they end up taking Drake May, then everything else like kind of falls apart. All the conjecture, all the wondering, will the Giants trade up with the Patriots to get Drake May? Will the Patriots like Jaden Daniels so much that they wouldn't trade? So many variables that could happen. And, you know, we're hours away from the draft, and we still have no idea which way this is going. One thing we know for sure, Caleb Williams is going to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that, Michael. Yeah. I am comfortable. But I will say one thing. The upside of it being kind of so ridiculous to speculate is it makes a show like today fun because, frankly, I'm as apt or more apt to want to hear just what the fans want than I care about hearing what the experts say. Because what do they really know at this point, Michael? Anyone who's trying to keep it undercover is keeping it undercover. This does appear to be a year where there are some variables you may not know about. So I'm much more interested in what the Giants, I mean, Jets fans too, although I don't think any of us expect anything crazy from the Jets. But particularly for a Giants team where it's being speculated they could trade up, try to get a franchise quarterback, I'm certainly curious about what the Giants fan base is feeling on this draft Thursday, which a couple of months ago you maybe thought was an important draft. But now you realize, Michael, depending on what they do, it could be a future-shifting draft.
Oh, absolutely. And for both teams, because both teams, the Jets and the Giants, come with different initiatives of what they want to do. Now, here's my take. If the Giants don't trade up, because I've been hearing for a couple of months that they really like Drake May. So in order to get Drake May, they're either going to have to trade up to number three and knock the socks off the New England Patriots, or they will not have a chance to get Drake May if the Commanders actually want Drake May. So that would be out of the realm of possibility. If the Giants stay at six, I'm sorry, I would not take J.J. McCarthy. I have made my points known about this. I've had people push back on me. A guy that I know that works with the Yankees is a Michigan grad. And he said, you don't understand how great this guy is. I said, you know, you're right. I don't. And, you know, he came out. Both Drake May and J.J. McCarthy came out yesterday in separate interviews thinking that they're going to go to the Giants. If the Giants take J.J. McCarthy, I'll scratch my head a little bit. These guys are supposedly quarterback whisperers. They know what they're talking about. Maybe they see another Josh Allen. I'm not sure. I wouldn't go that route. I'd probably go wide receiver at six or trade down and get somebody else and get an extra draft pick. Because remember, they used their second number two pick or second round pick to get Brian Burns. So they only have one second round pick. So maybe they could pick up more draft capital. We'll see. Now for the Jets.
Wait, real quick, Michael, the Giants, just let me just say this. No matter how you cut it, it does feel to me like in any real way, the Daniel Jones era is over. And I know you disagreed and you said, well, they could change their mind and go back.
But it's not over if they don't take a quarterback, Peter.
I just feel like to me, the milk is out of the udder. If at this point, you're right, if they end up not taking a quarterback because they can't find anything, then you're down then officially to your last strike. That means Daniel Jones has to go out again and win this job.
Well, but this would be his fourth strike.
And this would be a
rare fourth strike.
A rare fourth strike. And also, it would be... Now, it's interesting, because in one sense, you could argue, what kind of shot would he have at it when you know the team is sort of already out on you? But, to the point you've been making all week, if they decide the quarterback is not there, and they have to roll the dice with Daniel Jones again, that means that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are 100% going to be locked into Daniel Jones succeeding. Because that would be the option everybody has. Michael, I know you've said they get a new quarterback, you're re-upping with Brian Daboll. If they don't get a new quarterback and they roll it out with Daniel Jones and this season's another miserable failure, that's bad news for everybody.
Well, the only way that they would get out from under it is if, in fact, Daniel Jones gets hurt again. But if he's just inept because he's inept, not because of an injury, they'd all be in trouble. Now, if they don't take a quarterback, and let's say they take Neighbors, the wide receiver with the sixth pick, all of a sudden, Daniel Jones has an incredible weapon that he could use that he has not had, and the Giants haven't had since Odell Beckham Jr. So that changes the spectrum of how you expect him to do, because you've given him a big-time weapon. Now, of course, he's also lost a big-time weapon because Saquon Barkley is playing for the Eagles. So a lot of moving parts, and I thought the truest thing that Joe Shane said throughout all of these last couple of weeks is this. We're not one or two players away. This team is far away. So can they roll the dice with Daniel Jones this year? And then it's not, you know, everybody says, well, they could get out from under the second year without any kind of hurt. No, there would still be a $22 million cap hit next year. Still $22 million. They wouldn't have to pay as $40 million, but everything would be amortized to that year. So they have to have $22 million on the cap that would be dead. So it's not like you just get rid of him and there's no remnants of him at all. It's $22 million that you'd be paying or not paying other players to make them better. So these two guys, when they got this job, they really inherited a dumpster fire. And the worst thing that happened to them, slash the best thing that happened to them, was the first year together, they make the playoffs and they win a playoff game. Because, Peter, that changed everybody's paradigm. All of a sudden, well, they're on the fast track. Well, they're really not. Because if you look at the games they won that got them into the playoffs, there were a lot of close games, a lot of fortunate bounces, things like that. The first game, he goes for it on fourth down and ends up getting it. Things that did not go their way this year. Or this past season.
Yep.
So I don't exactly know where they are as an organization at this point. They know. Mara knows. Tish knows.
You hope
they know.
I don't
know if we know.
I don't know that they know. I'm not convinced that they know. I really am not. I think they're trying to figure it out. I think they're obviously not into it with Jones anymore. When you start exploring this much, you know, you've been in a relationship with someone for 4 years. And now you're asking every single friend you have about their cousin. And, oh, did what's-his-face break up with Sarah yet? Has anyone seen Michelle on Facebook recently? You know, once those conversations are happening, Michael, I'm not saying it can't get fixed, but I'm sorry. To me, the Daniel Jones thing is not happening here. And I, apparently, top Giants brass feel the same way. Whether or not they're relegated to Daniel Jones, I guess we'll find out tonight. But to me, it has been decided that the best course of action moving forward would be in a what is believed to be a quarterback heavy draft to make a move and draft a quarterback. So,
and you know, in terms of us finding out while we're on the air till 6:30, we're not going to find out. We're not going to find out because it doesn't behoove the Giants to trade with the Patriots unless they see what the Commanders do. Because if their love interest is in fact Drake May, and then the Commanders surprise everybody by taking Drake May, then what are you trading up for? Why are you giving all that draft capital to the Patriots if you're not in love with Jaden Daniels? All of it, you know, is predicated on loving the quarterback that's out there. And again, what I've heard for months from people close to the situation with the Giants, Drake May is the object of their affection. But then you hear from other people, Peter, it's J.J. McCarthy, and J.J. McCarthy seems to think it's going to be the Giants too.
Well, that's a totally different situation. Because, yep. I mean, you can... How far do people expect McCarthy to make it? They could just stand pat, no?
They could stand pat, I think, and get him at six.
So you don't have to make a move for J.J. McCarthy. And, I mean, there's a world in which you could trade back and get J.J. McCarthy.
The only thing that could hurt them is, so you've got the Cardinals and the Chargers in front of them. So the Cardinals don't need a quarterback. They're staying with their quarterback. So they're going to take a wide receiver, probably Marvin Harrison Jr. Then What do the Chargers do? Well, we know they don't need a quarterback, but maybe Harbaugh trades that fifth pick to a team that likes J.J. McCarthy or forces the Giants to trade up the one pick to get him. So they get maybe a second round or a third round pick just to flip-flop, and so the Giants are sure that they could get him. I don't know. I remember when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, the prevailing thought was the Giants reached too early for him, that Dave Gettleman really was kind of like hoodwinked into picking him at six because, hey, the bottom line is this. They felt that they could get him with the second first-round draft pick, which I think that you were 17.
Yep.
So you've got to really know. You've got to know your team, and you've got to see the smoke signals from other team who likes J.J. McCarthy. Just think about it. Coming into this season, this college football season, no one thought J.J. McCarthy was going to be a top of the first round guy. No one. Now he's going to go in front of Bo Nix. He's going to go in front of Michael Penix. Think about that. Think about that. And the guy didn't throw a lot in college. Now that doesn't mean he can't throw. All he does is win, but he really had a great team around him. I mean, there's some thought that Michigan will set a record having 20 of their players taken in this draft. 20. I think the previous record is like 16 for a team. They get 20 players taken. That's a national championship team. So when you tell me, well, all he's done is win, quarterbacks don't win on their own. They just don't. I mean, they need a lot of help, and Michigan was an absolute powerhouse, and they won the national championship.
Yeah, and by the same token, exactly. I mean, and as a result, maybe in big games, they just played the game they played, and that didn't mean a heavy dose of J.J. McCarthy. And maybe it's been, you know, a negative. People like you, Michael, have seen it as a bit of a negative for McCarthy that in big spots they didn't give him the ball a lot, but that's also not how that team operated. And maybe the powers that be know. I mean, obviously Harbaugh seems to hype him up, but maybe people believe there really is more there. It just wasn't what you needed to do on that team. So, but you know what? Whatever you said, Michael, it worked. Because when people ask me about McCarthy, I go, no thanks.
Well, we'll see what the Giants think. That's the most important one. Now, the Jets, the question is, will they go with the tight end, Brock Bowers, at 10? Will they go with an offensive line? Will they trade back? I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do with this pick. So they have the 10th pick, and here's some of the things that you know about the Jets. We'll just go over it. They missed the playoffs for the 13th straight season. That's the longest active drought in the NFL and the longest in team history. Now, as for the offensive line, they obviously have made some trades, and they brought in veteran guys that in all likelihood will not be able to play 17 games. They were 30th in pass blocking, pass block win rate, it's called, and one of two teams in the bottom five in PBWR and run block win rate. The Jaguars the other. So remember, you have a 40-year-old quarterback coming back from a very serious surgery. You're going to have to protect him. So they got the three offensive linemen in March. They signed Tyron Smith and John Simpson. They traded for Morgan Moses. Moses has been hurt a lot. Smith has been hurt a lot. Let's see if they stay healthy. Now, their tight ends were non-existent last year. They had one touchdown all season. 31st in the NFL. The only team that was worse was the Dolphins. They got Hassan Reddick from the Eagles for a 2026 conditional pick. And he was one of two players with 10 or more sacks in each of the last four seasons. Now, Joe Douglas doesn't care about 2026 because if they make the playoffs this year, he's fired. They also added Mike Williams. They added Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback. They added defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle Leki Fotu, and cornerback Isaiah Oliver. They lost Zach Wilson. Lost, I use that, you know, with advice. Outside linebacker Bryce Huff, Jordan Whitehead, Bryce Hall, and Mekhi Becton, who's still a free agent. So there have been five tight ends in the first round selected in the first round in the common draft era, the most in the NFL. Most recent, Dustin Keller, 30th overall in 2008. So it doesn't really happen that often. Pitts obviously was a high draft pick for Atlanta, had a great first season, and then has really, you know, labored in the last 2 years without Matt Ryan. A tight end is not much of a tight end unless you have a quarterback throwing to him. You would think that Aaron Rodgers could make the most of him. So it's intriguing what the Jets could do. Do they reach and go for Brock Bowers at 10, which is a high number to pick a tight end? Because of the run on quarterbacks, Peter, does another great wide receiver drop to 10, and then you add him with the great wide receiver you have, really giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of weapons, or do you trade down? So a lot of things on the table for the Jets.
A lot. It's going to be fascinating to see. And what I've been thinking about is, how high do you chase a tight end? And is Brock Bowers really going to be the second coming of Tony Gonzalez or, and you know, Gronkowski, because that is an immensely high pick for a tight end. I don't know. Do you know who the highest drafted tight end of all time is?
I think it might be Pitts.
That may be it.
I think it might be Pitts.
So you better be damn sure on what you're getting if you draft that high with tight end, Michael. It's just not a position you see up there that often.
And this guy, you know, two-time John Mackey Award winner, best tight end in college football. He does it all. He's got great hands. He's got great running ability. We'll see what kind of a blocker he is. But the Jets are going to keep – they have to keep Aaron Rodgers clean. Because my contention is the way their offensive line broke down last year, Peter, if he didn't get hit and injured on play four, he would have gone down in game five. Because they just couldn't keep him clean. They have to keep him clean. He gets rid of the ball quickly, but you got to give the guy some time to throw. So a lot of things on Joe Douglas's plate. You could say, what's the thing that makes us good this year? You can't think ahead. You can't think that far ahead. Don't think about trading down in the draft and picking up draft capital in future years, because Joe Douglas might not make that pick. Robert Saleh might not make that pick. So there's a lot of things to consider with this. And I think it's a very intriguing draft. I think it's going to be highly rated. Now, if you want to listen to the draft, we have this special thing set up on the ESPN New York app. We actually built a, what do they call it, a plate? A tile. All right, so there's a tile that you click on that, and you will hear the entire draft.
That's what I'm
Chris
doing,
Carlin
Michael.
Will be part of it as well, and I think it's going to be great. But there's so many things that we have going as a station and as an entity today that the NFL draft is going to be on the ESPN app. You can listen to the whole thing.
That's how I'm consuming the draft. It'll be on the ESPN New York app because I personally, Peter Rosenberg of Sound Mind and Body, will be watching the Nick game on the television, and I will be consuming the draft on the app.
Well, let me give you the whole Megilla, if you don't mind.
I'd love if you would break it all down.
All right, it's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Knicks look to go up 3-0 on the Sixers in Philly with coverage starting at 7 right here on 98.7. All right, that marked that down. Now, the Islanders are back home for game 3, a game they have to win. They're down 2-0. This is against the Canes, obviously, with coverage at 7 on 10.50. The Yankees finished their series at the A's at 7:05. That's on Yes. And if you're looking for the NFL draft, as we mentioned, you could find it on the ESPN New York app. The Mets are off today after going 3-3 on their West Coast swing. That's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Now let's take some phone calls because we have Ritz Samini helping us through the jet situation when he will join us at 3:30. Let's go to Garrett in Paramus. Garrett, my friend, you start.
Hey, Mike. Hey, P. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I'm a Jets fan, so it's like, I just want to give you guys a hypothetical, just something I've been thinking about. Right. I don't know if it's like stupid or if it's possible, but I would say, like, obviously the responsible thing to do in the draft is to just take a offensive lineman. There's a lot of good ones that you can't go wrong with, but do you think it's possible with T. Higgins being on the trade block, well, not on the trade block, but that he requested a trade, that if the Jets gave up like a first or second next year and held on to that 10, now it kind of allows you to, now you get another wide receiver weapon, you can go offensive line, and then maybe with your third and your fourth round picks, you might be able to sneak back into the second round, and maybe you can double dip with offensive line again, or you can go receiver, or you can, if Penix by any chance is even there, which I don't think so, but you might be able to get a better quarterback instead of waiting to the fourth round. Like, do you think that's something that could happen, or it's just not reasonable, or just want to know?
No, I don't think it's unreasonable at all, Garrett, because I think, you know, making a move for Higgins certainly solves some problems, but I don't think it would take a first round pick to get him, because you're gonna have to pay him big money. Because what St. Brown got from the Lions, now you set the new level. You know, wide receiver's going to want $30 million. So, you know, there's talk about the Giants maybe trading with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Well, that's $30 million a year. Because if St. Brown got $30 million a year, what's Ayuk going to get? And then Jefferson's just waiting to see who the Vikings pick at quarterback. Because does he want to stay there? Even they pay him 30. I don't think you're going to be able to get Jefferson for $30 million a year, Peter. Because Jefferson's better than St. Brown. So if the Giants do get Ayuk, you know, there's a lot of rumors about that. Well, that solves the problem of having to pick a wide receiver with the sixth pick. then maybe you could trade down. Or, again, if you want J.J. McCarthy,
yeah,
that's
grab a quarterback.
Your problem.
Exactly. Grab a quarterback. And if you decide to have J.J. McCarthy and Daniel Jones compete for a job, at least either one of them has a wide receiver.
Let's go to Fran in Massapequa.
Fran.
Fellas, what's up? A pleasure.
What's going on?
All right, this is the deal. I got some inside information. I'm a Bears fan for 40 years. I got a friend who's he works at the stadium. He knows somebody. All right, and listen to this now. Let me just say this. Right now, the draft, would you say everybody's pretty much locked into, you know, pretty much locked into the first nine picks, yes?
No. No. I think the only pick that's locked in is the Bears.
Is one. I'd say
one. Really?
We're locked in one through one.
All right, okay, so do you think a lot of teams did any, you know, the bottom line is this. The Bears are going to take Harrison. This is in. The Bears are going to take Harrison, all right, and they're going to throw a monkey wrench into the draft. Well,
who's their quarterback
then? Teams are going to panic. Hold on.
They traded Justin Fields.
Just listen, hear me out. I didn't say they weren't going to take it. They had the ninth pick, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to throw a monkey wrench into the draft. Now, you're picking second, third, fourth, whatever. There's only going to be 25 minutes these guys are going to have to find out, is this guy hurt? What's going on? So you're going to take him now, teams? Like you said, the Giants need this pick, and they got to make a right one. You think they're going to take this kid the Bears didn't take? Maybe he's hurt, maybe something, on a whim? So just hear me out. Someone might take him. So that means another quarterback will fall to the Bears at nine. I think he could sneak through because they'll be so scared to take him. Take a team like the Giants. You just said, if they pick a quarterback, this is for the next 10 years.
Hold on. I didn't mean it like that.
I'm sorry, Michael.
But you're making assumptions that the other teams don't do
that. No, I'm just telling you.
Caleb Williams,
the Bears are taking Harrison.
They're not taking Harrison. Why would you take a wide receiver with the first pick? There's some talk that Harrison is dropped. He might not even be the first wide receiver taken. It could be Adunze. It could be Neighbors. Those guys have had unbelievable practice days or whatever, pro days. You know that Marvin Harrison didn't. His father was a former NFL great. He did not allow him to have a pro day. So they didn't see it. The only thing they see is what he did at Ohio State, which should be plenty. So there's some question. So you just said the Bears have number nine. Why wouldn't they wait till number nine to see what wide receiver drops? They love Caleb Williams. The Bears yesterday unveiled the new stadium that they're going to build next to the Soldier Field. Why would they do that if they were going to make such a move like this? You know, I mean, they've got their quarterback locked in. They're not taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And listen, Fran, if it happens tonight, you can call in. I'll apologize. I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. I'm sorry. This to me has been decided already. Unless Fran knows something that nobody else knows.
Well,
somebody
works at the stadium.
Well, listen, so maybe he does know somebody. that's Fran you're talking to.
I love Fran. I love Fran, but you know, all the teams are going to be shocked and say, "Oh, Caleb Williams is hurt." You don't think they've done their homework on everybody? There are teams other than the Bears that have talked to Caleb Williams. They've done extensive research on all of them. The Giants have interviewed all the quarterbacks. Does that mean they're going to take every one? They're prepared for anything. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. The whole football world would just explode if they don't take Caleb Williams.
God, I would explode. I'd be so confused about what my team was going to do next.
They'd take Caleb Williams.
I guess you're right.
Peter, why don't you tell us about FanDuel?
You know what, Michael? I thought you never asked. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. All right? You can bet on three-pointers made in the Knicks-Sixers game, maybe over-under point totals for Brunson and Hart tonight, first basket score, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Peter to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. All right, guys. What up? It's Peter for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Did you hear the 30 for 30 sale coming? Come get some. You can get up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XEs, Gladiators, Wagoneers, Grand Wagoneers, all up to 30% off MSRP. Go see our friend Michelle Scalisi during the Jeep Celebration event and come get some.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, our next guest is our good friend Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for us at ESPN. And you have to check out Rich's podcast, which is called Flight Deck. And you can get it on the ESPN app and also wherever podcasts are acquired. We love Rich. He does a great job with that podcast, and he's going to do a great job with us now. Rich, there's so many ways that thank you for joining us. First off, there's so many ways the Jets could go. I mean, does anybody have a real solid like lead on this? Because I heard you say they could trade up, they could trade down. I mean, everything is up on the table, right?
Yes. Thanks for having me. Always good to be with you guys, first of all. And yeah, this is one of the more fluid situations that I've covered. You know, like when you're in the middle of the first round, it's really hard. When you're in the 10 to 30 range, it's hard. Usually the Jets are in the top three or something like that. It's pretty easy to pick then. But a lot of different things could happen. You know, I think obviously they're focused on offense. They're not going to draft a defensive player. And it's probably going to be a pass catcher or an offensive lineman. I would say probably pass catcher at this moment, but they could trade back for an offensive lineman. There's a handful of guys they really like. So you're right, Michael. It is virtually impossible to get a 100% ironclad prediction on this.
Do you have any guesstimation on how much Aaron Rodgers' input there would be on an offensive pick?
Well, it's interesting that in Rodgers' career as a starter, you know, going all the way back to 08 with the Packers, he's never had a first-round receiver or tight end drafted for him. So I think the Jets may make some Rodgers history tonight. Yeah, I think he has some input. I mean, he has said, and, you know, the Jets have said that they, you know, they solicit input from him, and why wouldn't they? I mean, the guy knows as much, maybe more football than anybody in the building. He's been around the league for 20 years. So, you know, is he in the draft room saying, no, I want this guy over that guy? I don't think he's going to do that. But I definitely think they used him as a sounding board to get his feel on what the particular needs might be on offense.
Now, are they against or are they wary? Because, you know, the new narrative is that you should not take a tight end with a high first-round draft pick. We keep hearing they love Brock Bowers, but would they be hesitant to take him at 10? Because Kyle Pitts was looked at as can't miss. He had a good first season. The last two seasons, not so great. What are the Jets' thoughts on Bowers as far as you know?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the positional value is not as high as it would be for an offensive tackle. In the last 30-something years, only three first-round tight ends have become an all-pro. Tony Gonzalez, Dallas Clark, and Jeremy Shockey, the only three out of 30-something years of drafting first-round tight ends. So it's on you. And also another main point is very rarely do you see a first-round tight end get a second contract with the team that drafted him. So that doesn't happen that often. But, you know, we asked Joe Douglas about that last week, and he said as long as the guy is, you know, is a dynamic weapon, you know, it doesn't matter what position he plays. He called him a Swiss Army knife, which tells me they don't see him as a quote-unquote traditional tight end. He's not your uncle's tight end. He doesn't line up next to the tackle as an inline tight end. He's in the slot. He's split out wide. He even played running back at Georgia. You know, he scored 5 rushing touchdowns as a freshman, so he can line up there. He's exceptional with the ball in his hand, but, you know, essentially he'll be listed as a tight end, and it is a little unconventional. Me, I would take the offensive tackle, but I think there's a real good chance they would take Brock Bowers.
It's also interesting, Rich, because of the run on quarterbacks, one of the 3 really good wide receivers might drop to 10. Would they entertain that, or are they happy with Garrett Wilson as their number one?
Oh, they're happy with Garrett Wilson, but they need another receiver. Right now, we all saw what happened to Alan Lazard last year. He basically ended up in the doghouse. And Mike Williams is he going to be the Mike Williams of a few years ago? I don't know. He's coming off ACL surgery. He probably won't even be ready until week 1. So, yes, they absolutely need a wide receiver. And I'm glad you mentioned it. I do see a scenario where one of those top 3 receivers falls to the Jets at 8.
Yep.
If it's Neighbors or Adunze, I definitely think the Jets would take him over Bowers. I mean, I think they'd be tickled to have one of those 3 wideouts fall to them. I also think there's a chance that they could move up to 8, Atlanta. Atlanta's going to draft a defensive player. I think we all know that. And they could probably get the same guy at 10 that they would get at 8. So why not just trade down a couple of spots? So I could see the Jets moving up 2 spots to grab a Rome Odunze or a Malik Neighbors.
Would they? Is there any chance, Rich, that somewhere like in the 3rd or 4th round or whatever, if a quarterback drops that they like to that level, that they'll grab him? Or do they risk ticking off Aaron Rodgers if they did that?
No, they're not going to tick him off if they do it in the 3rd round. I mean, I think it would be blindsided if they did it in the 1st round. It would be Jordan Love all over
can
again
you imagine?
Situation. But yeah, that would be classic. I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, I definitely think more on day 3 of the draft. You know, when we asked Douglas about taking a quarterback, he basically sounded like he's very interested in taking a quarterback. Clearly, they have a need. There's a job opening now. They traded, what's his name? I already forgot his name. No, I'm kidding. Zach Wilson traded, so they need a guy to replace him. They're looking for a developmental-type quarterback. Joe Douglas, and this raised some eyebrows in the press room when he said it, but he goes, we want to become a quarterback factory. So
yeah, but the first car that came off the line was a clunker. How could they start a factory?
Yeah. Yeah, they got a long way to go to become factory level. They want to be like the Packers of the 1990s. You know, they had Brett Favre, and Ron Wolf was smart enough to keep drafting quarterbacks in the late rounds like Mark Brunell and Aaron Brooks, and they were able to flip those for draft picks in later years, which was just smart business. But they had Brett Favre, you know, so they knew they had Favre and then Rodgers. The Jets, you know, what's the future beyond this year? We don't know. I mean, so I think the Jets will take a guy like Michael Pratt out of Tulane or Jordan Travis out of Florida State. I think those would be the 2 quarterbacks to watch.
Well, the glorious pick, the pick that I'm excited for this Jets team, Rich, is good old pick 203. The one that we never thought would happen, acquired from the Denver Broncos in the Zach Wilson trade, which I have to admit, I'm pretty impressed that Joe is able to pull this off. A, what were your thoughts? And B, anything to look for in those last 3 picks in the 6th and 7th?
Well, it would be funny if they took a quarterback there, which is entirely possible. But look, we all knew Zach Wilson was not going to be on this team this year, despite what Woody Johnson said at the owners' meetings last month in Orlando. He said, well, we'll just keep him if we can't trade him. I don't think anyone really took that seriously. This was always going to end up with Zach being sent away. So they got very little for him, and they're paying half his salary as well. So it's almost like they had to pay someone to take him off their hands. He didn't have much market value. We all know that. You know, he landed in a good spot, though. I mean, I think he's got a chance. I mean, unless Denver drafts a first-round quarterback, I think he'll have a chance to do something there in Denver and maybe resuscitate his career. But, yeah, I do think that, to me, the fun pick is the last pick in the draft. The Jets have the Mr. Irrelevant pick, and they haven't had that pick since 1969, the year after they won the Super Bowl. So that'll create some headlines as we get through this.
You know, there are so many narratives surrounding Zach Wilson, and you saw every snap of his career. Was he betrayed by all the change on the Jets, the offensive coordinators and things like that, or was he simply not good enough?
He wasn't good enough, Michael. I mean, he's had, granted, now, was it the ideal environment to develop a young quarterback? No. We know that. The Jets have said that. You know, changing coordinators, not having an experienced coach, making him play right away instead of grooming him a little bit. They made mistakes along the way. But I think it's lazy to blame that as the reason why he was a failure in New York. He just wasn't good enough. I mean, statistically, I could throw out 100 stats. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the last 20 years in the NFL, like historically bad. So I don't think that happens, you know, because he couldn't learn the, you know, his offensive coordinator wasn't great. It's on the player. And it was a bad draft pick. I mean, we can't excuse Joe Douglas here either. The player was overdrafted. I think the only saving grace for the Jets is that the guys who were drafted right after him, you know, bombed out too in their first team, and they all got traded in that quarterback class, except for Trevor Lawrence, and even he really hasn't lived up to expectations. So it's on the player. He just wasn't good enough. His mechanics never got fixed. His lower half was just out of whack. That's why he couldn't complete short passes. He just didn't process quickly. You know, he would lock onto one receiver, and those, they made incremental improvements, but going from, like, bad to slightly less bad is not going to cut it in the NFL, and that's why he had to go.
Talking to our Jets reporter, Rich Cimini. You know, Rich, you know, I'm thinking maybe Jamarcus Russell and you know, Ryan Leaf. I mean, he's one of the worst top two draft picks of all time. Is that unfair?
Well, I think he's the worst Jets draft pick of all time.
Right.
And I know some people are going to throw out Vernon Golston or whatever, but when you consider the position he plays, it's the most important position, where he was drafted, number two, I think it's not even an argument. I think Zach is probably the worst. I mean, Vernon Golston stinking for 3 or 4 years with the Jets did not change the course of Jet history. Zach Wilson stinking for 3 years did change the course of Jet history. So I think without doubt he, and you know, league wide, yeah, he's got to be up there with Russell. And I posted a stat the other day. There's a stat, analytics geeks like this one. It's called EPA per play, you know, expected points added per play. Out of 122 quarterbacks in like the last 25 years, he's ranked 121st.
Wow.
Out of 122, and the only one worse is Blaine Gabbert.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I look at this draft, and it's kind of a weird vibe for Joe Douglas, because, Rich, usually when like Joe Shane is drafting for this year and for the future for the Giants, the future means nothing to Joe Douglas. He's really zeroed in on this year. Guys that can help him this year, he might not be here next year if they don't make the playoffs. Is that an accurate assessment?
You're right. Everything he's done this offseason is for today. It's not for next year or the year after. They signed a whole bunch of those guys, short-term deals, older players like Tyron Smith and Hassan Reddick. It's all about this year. And, you know, I don't think Joe wants to mortgage the future, and he's not going to do anything damaging. But you're right. It's all about now for him and Robert Saleh and this entire regime. And that's why when you talk to people around the league, you know, their feelings about the Jets are like, Joe's got to win now. That's why he's going to take Brock Bowers. You know, he needs a guy to come in and make an instant impact. So that's why there's so much Brock Bowers sentiment out there. And I do think there's some credence to that. I know they really like Brock Bowers. Now, do they like him enough to take him at 10? I think they might, but I know they really like him.
All right, so in closing, you would take an offensive lineman. But if you had to, somebody said, okay, you got to tell us what the Jets are going to do. You think they'll take Bowers?
Yeah, if Odunze and Neighbors are gone, I think they'll take Bowers at 10. That was my mock the other day on ESPN for our show. I'll stick with that. I think the offensive line scenario comes into play if they trade down and they get a guy like a Talifuaga, who I'm told Joe Douglas really likes. If they can get him at 13 or 14 or 15, that would be like a win-win for the Jets. Get a good lineman who might not start from day one, but I'm sure will get playing time during the year, and you pick up an extra draft pick along the way. I think that would be the win-win for the Jets. But like I said, Adunze and Neighbors, if they're gone, then I got Bowers at 10.
See, that would be my pushback with the offensive lineman they trade down, because, Rich, he wants somebody that can contribute right away, and they've got their five offensive linemen. Now, a couple of them probably are not playing 17 games, but the guy you pick is not going to start right at the beginning, so it's not instant effect. So he's got to weigh that, too.
He's got to weigh that, but, I mean, who's to say if they draft Talifuaga, who's a really good right tackle, who's to say that Morgan Moses is his job is not etched in stone for the entire year. I mean, Morgan Moses is 33 years old. He's coming off a pec surgery, and he only makes $5.5 million. You could certainly put him on the bench and make him the swing tackle. I mean, if Fuaga or a Olu Fashanu from Penn State, if they're that good, you play him right away. And the left guard, John Simpson, they only gave him $6 million guaranteed. That doesn't mean he's got a lifetime appointment to being a starter for the Jets. I mean, he could get beat out by a guy like Choi Fautanu, the guy from Washington, who would be a really good left guard. So you're right, Michael. If they draft a tackle, probably not a day one starter, but given their injury history on the line and given the fact that some of these guys are older, I think there's definitely the possibility to play this year.
Rich, enjoy the evening. We thank you for giving us part of your time.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the draft. Take care.
All right. That's Rich Samini, and you can hear the draft on the ESPN New York app. Just hit the tile, and you can listen to the whole thing on the ESPN New York app. The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They'll contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains and see why they've received the Best of the Best award for the third straight year. With over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available, they have the vehicle for you. Start your shopping online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit their showroom. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Well, I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I am sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea, Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow tea number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. It's a pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd. It's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of the New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that is packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails, available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. What's a huff for, Peter?
I feel like I haven't talked to Don all day, and I miss the guy.
Well, you know what? He's been quiet the first couple of segments, but he's going to be shot out of a cannon right now.
I feel like I just wanted to lay out, so.
Well, you know what? Rich knows what he's talking about, so you might as well. You know what I mean?
Well, I heard every second of it, and I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to Jordan later on. And
oh, yeah.
I just want this draft to start already. I'm just tired of the speculation. It's just got to be like, because I'm just thinking, like, first of all, we don't even know. Do we even know the Giants want a quarterback? They should, but do we even know they have a desire to? Like, we all looked at Daniel Jones last year and said, well, they can't be happy with that. But aren't they supposed to look deeper? How do they feel about these quarterbacks? But we don't even know necessarily if they feel like they need to draft a quarterback in this draft.
We don't.
Well, what do you think? Do they?
I would like to see them get Neighbors and see if they can make it work with Daniel for the 1 year they have. You're paying them $40 million, right? And I'm not going to sit here and deflect calls all day about, you know, Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. What are you talking about, Don? I think that he has not really been given a fair shot here with weapons, with health. There's a load of things to be concerned about. But you're paying him $40 million. You have him as your quarterback this year. Everybody's saying he's to be healthy and ready for the start of the season. And it's not like you can't use the wide receiver for whoever the next quarterback is going to be, unless they're head over heels, and as Gettleman said, in full bloom love with one of these quarterbacks, then I think I take the receiver. I take Neighbors. Because if J.J. McCarthy's there at 6, they'll take him. Well, if you like J.J. McCarthy, why would you take the chance? You'd have to move up, right? And you can't guarantee me that your quarterback that you want is going to be there at 6. So if they're drafting at 6, guys, are you going to tell me they're going to take a quarterback?
And, well, I mean, and if say, the first
thank God it fell to us.
Well, but you can't think. I mean, you have to play defense. So the first three picks are quarterbacks. If the Cardinals and the Chargers stay where they are, they don't need quarterbacks. So then they will drop without having to move up and give up capital. I mean, it's all a game of okey-doke. Do they like J.J. McCarthy? And they've got to read the tea leaves. Well, is somebody threatening to jump them to get the Chargers pick or to get the Cardinals pick? Those are things you have to figure out.
Yeah, but the thing is that if you really want a guy, can you take the chance and hope that he'll be there at 6? Or do you eliminate that hope and move up so you know you can take him?
Well, you know what? If they have fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy, which I don't quite understand, but if they have,
true,
I think it would be a reach to take that 6 pick and more draft capital to move up to get a guy who I don't see as being great. Maybe right. They do. They know better than I do. But that to me, that's a reach.
But listen, and I don't disagree with you, but please don't take this the wrong way. I don't care what you think. I care what they think.
Well, we don't know what they think, Don,
we have
to talk around it.
But what I'm saying is that do not take a quarterback because you need a quarterback. You take a quarterback because you absolutely want that quarterback. And if you don't want any of these quarterbacks, don't take any of them. And
well,
take
I don't think
what
they will. Why would you even think that that would be a case?
Because
they're not going to take Bo Nix with the sixth pick.
Well, but all this speculation. They want this guy. They're hot on Drake May. They want J.J. McCarthy. They're gonna what Peter said earlier that maybe Daniels isn't going to be taken by them. Well, if you want these guys, they're outside of J.J. McCarthy. They're not going to be there at six. So. I don't want to now just say, oh, well, we need a quarterback, and there's a quarterback here at six. I think one of these guys is going to fall. Like, do you really believe that we're going to see four quarterbacks taken in those first four picks?
Only if the Cardinals trade the pick. The Cardinals won't take a quarterback. But there's a chance that some team is in love with J.J. McCarthy and moves up.
Because somebody always seems to fall, and I just have this feeling that we're going to be sitting there watching one of these quarterbacks. Maybe it's McCarthy. Maybe it's going to be a Penix or a Nix falling to the second round. I just think we all get played here, guys. But for me, as a Giants fan, they have a quarterback. You may not be in love with him. He may not be the franchise quarterback, but you're on the hook for $40 million with this guy. You have a chance of getting a transcendent wide receiver, something they have, like, literally almost never had, right? I mean, you got to really go back. They got Odell, but they got Odell, unfortunately, at a time where it just didn't really work out. But even but if you want to say Odell, before Odell, they got Burris towards the end of his career, and they've had nice wide receivers, but it's always been about the running game and about great defense. To have a transcendent wide receiver to help make the $40 million worth it for Daniel Jones this year. And if you end up cutting bait with Daniel, isn't that a nice wide receiver to have when you either address the position in free agency in 2025 in a position to draft a quarterback next year?
I would push back on you. Okay, so you get the wide receiver. Daniel. If they don't think Daniel Jones is a long-term answer, you're just kicking the can down the road. So then that gives them another year that they get to pick a quarterback. I mean, how long do you get? I mean, really, how long do you get?
I just don't – but I'm arguing against just taking a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback.
Well, I don't think they will. What team does that? They've got to love the quarterback that they want. But, do you really think that Daniel Jones is the answer, Don? Long term.
I don't –
See,
if I had to guess, I would say no. But
if there's a quarterback that they like and they take him, he can sit behind Daniel Jones for a year.
Exactly. Well, that would be the plan. But I also think – but I also believe – that Daniel Jones has not been given the best shot to see what
he can
do. You
heard what Rich said. Neither was Zach Wilson. He's just not good enough.
Right. Well, and we'll ultimately see, right? I mean, eventually time will tell. Right now it doesn't look good for Zach Wilson. But, I looked at a team that didn't have a lot of talent, and they went 9-7-1, and won a playoff game. I'm the first person to argue that that was fool's gold based on how they won those games and who they beat in the playoffs. And I'm not telling you that Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback, but I don't know if any of these guys that they're going to draft are going to be great. And I want Shane to go out and get the guy that he feels he needs to get and not just take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. And just for me, I'm kind of curious to see, with a healthy Jones, a healthy offensive line, another year under the tutelage of Dable, with a transcendent wide receiver, what Daniel Jones could end up becoming, and seeing if you want to maybe have those final 2 years of the contract kick in.
From heated seats to built-in Wi-Fi, Bay Ridge Mazda has cars with the premium features you crave. Get 0% financing on select new models and prices below MSRP across their entire selection. Plus, every new Mazda comes with 1 year of free oil changes and a free tire rotation. Visit them today at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn or online at BayRidgeMazda.com. Available to qualified buyers. Additional fees may apply. Must take same-day delivery. MSRP discounts not available on future or pre-sold inventory. See dealer for details. It ends 4/30/2024. Hey, everybody, it's Michael Kay. I love when I get to talk about PC Richard & Son. They're local, family-owned, and they truly care about their customers. Right now at PC Richard & Son, save big on Samsung for your whole house. Samsung appliances up to 35% off. Select Samsung TVs and soundbars up to 35% off. Plus, get up to $1,000 in additional savings when you combine two or more qualifying Samsung products. It's the Samsung Whole House event. Only at our friends at PC Richard & Son.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.